All right, joining me now on the CCHA show in our undrafted series is Buffalo Sabres assistant coach and former Ferris State alum, Seth Appert. Seth, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks, Perry. Good to be on. Always good to see my old friend, Perry Ascaris. So I'm looking forward to it.
Seth, a goaltender at Ferris, but before that grew up in Cottage Grove, Minnesota. From the outside, it doesn't look like the most clear path to a small school in Michigan, but how did you end up there, obviously playing high school at Park Cottage Grove, on moving on to the Bulldogs?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I loved my time growing up in Minnesota. It's such a great place to play youth and high school hockey. Feel really fortunate looking back at it, at how great of an experience that was to get to play local community hockey and then get to represent our high school and our town in high school. I was recruited, throughout the country. I wasn't like this top recruit, but I was a good high school hockey player. I'd make the U.S. national camps, things like that. And, I also expressed when teams out east or in the Midwest, contacted me, I did express interest in going away from home. You know, some Minnesota kids are real adamant that they want to stay at, the 5 or 6 Division I schools in the state. And some were okay. And my parents raised all of us to, kind of have that independent spirit and go explore. And so Ferris, gave me a good opportunity. I really liked the coaching staff. Bob Daniels, who just retired, was a big reason I wanted to go there. What he built there at Ferris State, we were his first class that he had from start to finish as players. We were freshmen in his first year, so really proud that we were able to play for Bob and build a good foundation at Ferris.
That's great. I know you have a very athletic family as well. I know your brother played college baseball and a little bit of pro baseball. Luke, he was your older brother, right?
He was younger. Older brother Abe.
Abe, yes.
Did not play in college. Would have been maybe a D2, D3 baseball player. We were more of a baseball family. he went to Boston College. Really good students. The younger brother Luke was 2-time Big Ten Player of the Year at the University of Minnesota. Is actually going in the Gophers Athletics Hall of Fame this year. So he's the real athlete in the family. I don't know if I get to say I was part of that good athleticism in the family, but he was certainly the real athlete in our family.
Very cool. So you get to Ferris. You talk about Bob Daniels, who we talked about just recently retired. They actually did they did something. And your teammate, I want to get to him, Jeff Blashill, who's been in the NHL for a number of years as a head coach. I don't think it's too often that you have a goalie kind of tandem that ends up coaching such a high level of hockey. What's your relationship like been with him, and then from the kind of very beginning, I guess?
Yeah, well, I think that it helped our coaching career that we were both not very good in net. Bob had to survive our years in goal. I think there's Blash is one of my closest friends to this day. We were in each other's weddings. We go on family vacations with each other. He looks at my kids like family. I look at his kids like family. Really fortunate to be that close with a former teammate and his whole family. And then our careers, have allowed us to maintain that friendship. We get to see each other. There's reason to talk to each other, both through our college coaching careers and then now on to the National Hockey League. It's a pretty unique friendship. I remember a couple of years ago when I was coming up to the NHL, and obviously he's been in the NHL for a while, he texted me, he's like, pretty cool that two former roommates in from Ferris State are both in opening night in the NHL right now. So, we don't take that for granted. We're both very grateful to be in the best league in the world. And, we developed a real strong friendship from day one. We're both very competitive. You'd want to be the starting goalie, go at each other in that regard. But we also both never took it off the ice. And I think we have a lot of common beliefs. We grew up in similar families. Family was very important in both families we grew up in. I just think there's a lot of common characteristics that that makes sense, that why we became so close. But we have a pretty strong group. There's a group of 15 or 16 of us that are on a text thread to this day. And a lot of days there's 30, 40, 50 texts going off. sometimes they're giving us coaching advice. That happens a lot. a lot of those guys came out to Chicago last year when we played the Blackhawks, and we all went to dinner the night before the game. Then they came to the game the next day. It was actually a day that we clinched our division championship. So it was pretty cool to have those guys there. It's really neat. And that's something that Bob built. When we got there, I don't think there wasn't maybe as much pride as there should be in being a Bulldog. And I think that's the best thing Bob and Drew and Mark Kaufman and those guys did over that long, great run they had. Obviously, they played a national championship game, went to NCAA tournaments, unreal, at a smaller school like Ferris. But the family atmosphere, the pride that he instilled in what it means to be a Bulldog, he did an amazing job in that, and we're all proud of that.
You know, you and I were coworkers for a time at RPI, and thinking about it now, it wasn't a big deal for me at the time, but when you guys played Ferris, it was a Mariucci Classic, I mean, 15, 16 years ago, that had to be pretty cool to play against your former coach at that point.
Yeah, it was great. And then we brought Ferris back. Ferris came out to RPI. We went to Ferris. You know, I remember, you know, back then the program wasn't on strong ground when I first got there. We didn't have a lot of money yet, all those things. And I remember we got these kind of fake leather captain's chairs for the locker room one day with the logo on them and Ferris State. And we were pumped. Like, it was our sophomore year. We thought we were big time. And and this says a lot about Bob. We went and played them so many years later.
Yep.
And I think I told him that story at one time or another. And there's still some of those chairs around. Obviously, they have a new locker room now. They have a great setup and stuff. And I didn't know this, but quietly, Bob had slipped one of those chairs to Dana McGuane, our great equipment manager at RPI, to put on the bottom of the bus to give to me when he got back there. He didn't want to make a big deal of it, but that's Bob. You know, he takes care of the guys. You know, he looks back at our era, like, he really is proud of how much we loved being Bulldogs and how much we still love being Bulldogs. And when I coached at the U.S. national program, I brought the team up there as well. You know, it's something that, you know, that's where I'm from. That's home. That's a big part of my story. And it's good to share that with some of the teams I've coached.
How much do you think having stops, you know, pretty long stretch at RPI, you coach the U.S. National Development Team, you're in the AHL for 4 years, you know, what do those stops kind of add to your kind of coaching repertoire and how you kind of see the game today as an NHL coach?
Yeah, I think they're everything. They're foundational. You know, I stayed at Ferris for my fifth year and was a student assistant coach. So what a great experience that was. That's where I fell in love with coaching. Mm-hmm. I don't know how helpful I was to Bob and Drew and Jamie Russell at the time, because I was a 22-year-old kid. But that year helped me fall in love with coaching. Then I went out to Denver for 9 years and had the privilege of working with, you know, Rico Blasi, Steve Miller, and George Gwizdecki. So, you know, again, what a treat to work for legends like that and to get to learn from guys like that. Fortunately, we had a lot of success at Denver, which helped lead me to get the RPI job. And all of those stops along the way, you'll learn a lot of different things. I learned how to build pride in a program from Bob and make guys fall in love with where they're at. At Denver, I really learned how to run a program. When I got to RPI, I had a lot to learn as a young head coach, but I felt confident in how to run the program because George is so professional at how he ran the program at Denver. And so I felt we could do a really good job of running the program the right way and build a strong foundation at RPI. And that led to some really good years and some damn good teams there, which was a lot of fun. And then I thought the U.S. program was unique. You know, something that sometimes happens, I was probably guilty of this, at a smaller school like RPI, you have to wear so many hats. Maybe I wasn't growing enough in my coaching because you're running golf outings and alumni events and banquets and recruiting and all those things. And when I got to USA and I was there for almost 4 years, all you worried about when you went home at night, when you go home at night at RPI, you're thinking about what recruit you got to call, what alum you got to talk to, admissions, all those things. When you went home at night at USA, all you thought about was how can I make my team and my players better tomorrow? That's it. It's the development program for a reason. And it's not just player development, it's coaches development. And so that was a unique experience. I think it shaped where I was going as a coach. I grew a ton in my coaching development in those years there. And then I was fortunate to go to Rochester. And part of the reason I was hired is we were going to be incredibly young in Rochester. We're going to have a bunch of 18, 19, 20 year olds as we are going through a rebuild up in Buffalo. And they weren't far off of the age I had just done that same job with at USA. So I think there was a lot of synergy between those two jobs. And now you're in the National Hockey League. It's a little more, you know, we're young still, so there is development, but it is more about winning in the NHL. And I get a first-hand seat to sit right next to Lindy Ruff, one of the best coaches in the history of our game, and I learn from him on a daily basis. So I've been really fortunate to be around great people and get to learn and pick their brain, and that's helped my career a ton.
I do want to get to the Sabres, your success last year, but I'm not sure how many coaches, some more than others, are concerned with their coaching tree, and I'm sure you're probably concerned with how the guys who you've coached over, who people have coached under you have done professionally, but, you know, Benny Barr, Kirk McDonald, a lot of these guys that were the volunteer assistant for you have gone on, you know, Andrew Lord, who played for you, mm-hmm. is in the Ontario, with the Ontario Reign. These are guys that I'm sure you take pride in their successes as well.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I do. I coach for relationships. That's the reason I got into coaching. I like helping people. I love hockey, but I like helping people in their life and their career. I like helping people try to chase their dreams. That's why I stayed in college so long. But I've been fortunate at USA and in pro. We've been really young and that job hasn't changed a ton. Yeah, like you said, Andrew Lord's killing it in the American League. Kirk McDonald's killing it in the American League. Benny Barr is killing it at Maine. Brent Darnell worked for me at USA. He's killing it as a top recruiter at Boston College.
Obviously, Monty.
Monty worked with me at, you know, he's killing it in the National Hockey League. Jared Nightingale was a young assistant for me at USA, and he is head coach in the American League. Doing a great job. Nick Forer was an assistant with me. He's now the head coach of the U.S. program. Mike Weber and Mike Pekka were with me in Rochester. They're in the National Hockey League. And so, you know what you do? You take a lot of pride in that, because I was fortunate that coaches I worked for, Bob Daniels and George Gwozdecki, and now Lindy Ruff, cared about their assistants, cared about their careers, their lives, and helping us grow and make us better. And I think that is something that I've taken a lot of pride in trying to give back to the guys that have worked with me.
Absolutely. And in the current CCHA, in its current form, it's 8 schools. I'm sure I was talking to you before we started recording about Tom Cerutori, but, you know, a lot of veterans, a lot of leadership in this group, and the commissioner, Don Lucia, I know as well, another, you know, a guy who's been with the Gophers for a number of years. What has the coaching, you know, especially the college coaching world, because it's a pretty tight-knit group, done for you? And do you still have those kind of relationships with them?
Yeah, I do. It's funny. I just talked to Tom Cerutori the other day. The Cerutori brothers in particular have been extremely kind to me. Minnesota guys, a little bit older than me, always looked out for me on the road as a young assistant coach and took me under their wing. But there's a great group of coaches in the CCHA. You know, you got young up and coming staffs, at Ferris State with Riley and that crew. You got guys that have been veterans, like Damon Witten up at Lake State. And like I said, with Cerutori, Luke Strand, obviously has done a great job. I coached against him at USA when he was in the USHL. He's a great coach. What Garrett Reboyne and fellow Bulldog, Taylor Nelson is doing.
That's up right.
In Augustana. You know, so, you know, sometimes it's funny in college hockey that the guys that get a lot of credit as coaches are sometimes the big name program guys, because that's where a lot of the premier players go. But I always argued, like, there was probably a 20-year period that you could have argued that Bob Daniels might have been a top 5 coach in college hockey, even though he might not have always got that credit, because the credit goes to some of the more glamour programs. But man, the CCHA is such a good league. It still is. The coaches are so good, and talking to them, they say it's just such a competitive league on a night-to-night basis. So I still follow it. It's a little harder to stay in touch with as many, just because the pace of the schedule in the NHL is pretty wild. You know, in college, you have a little more time. You take a breath a little bit during the week. Yeah, you're still busy. You're recruiting. You're practicing. But, you know, there's usually 5 days between games. The pace of the schedule of when, how much games are coming at you in the NHL is that is pretty unique, and definitely takes some time to get used to.
I have to ask you about this because you didn't have to deal with it, but you know, with Canadian Hockey League players being opened up to the recruiting world for the NCAA, what do you think that would have done for your teams, and how do you think it's affected things? Even we're only a couple of years in, so it's hard to really say overall. But what do you think of that?
Well, I think there's probably two answers to that. As an American and a proud guy of USA Hockey, that's coached for our country and loves USA Hockey, I don't love that it's going to take some spots from American players away. So, so that part of me, you're like, ah. But as an educator and a person that really loves college hockey, I always struggled with why we prevented academic opportunities and athletic opportunities from people just because they made a hard decision at 15, 16, 17 years old. Didn't make a lot of sense to me that was the right thing. And the quality of play is obviously increasing, right? There's a bigger, it almost doubled the player pool for college hockey. And so I think that the teams that have done a better job of getting inroads, I think there's new recruiting opportunities. And the reality is mid-sized, small-town Canadian kids probably grow up with less of a inclination in their mind of, I'm supposed to go to this school. You know, American kids, they grew up, if you're an Eastern kid, I want to go to BCBU. Minnesota kid, you want to go to Minnesota, maybe North Dakota, Duluth, something like that. You know, Michigan kid, you're growing up, you're going to go to Michigan State. So the Canadian kids, especially the smaller town Canadian kids, I think have less biases going into the recruiting process. So they're probably more likely to go to the place that gives them the best opportunity and recruits them the best, which when you're at a school like an RPI or you played at a Fair State, probably gives you a better chance of winning some of those recruiting battles. So I think it does increase the depth of quality of college hockey. And I think it provides some recruiting opportunities from some of the mid-sized programs to try to even the playing field against some of the bigger name schools that have those first rounders.
Yeah, it certainly showed you last year with the CCHA. You were just like a few, really one game from having two of the nine teams in the NCAA tournament and a couple of wins, potentially having three at some point. So the league is in a good spot as far as we're concerned, as far as, you know, Don Lucia, our commissioner, is concerned of competing against those upper echelon teams and getting teams into the NCAA tournament, which is the kind of ultimate goal. I know Ferris, you know, they went to a national title in 13-14. You took RPI to an NCAA tournament. Just looking back on that experience now, you guys went to Green Bay, and it was a very odd thing where you were 21 days off. But what, you know, NCAA tournament wise, what was that like, and what did that do for a program, you think?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, even at Denver, I mean, Denver's now consistently winning. But when George got there, and then I joined them a few years later, Denver hadn't won a national championship in over 30 years. So, you know, all of this that has been going on at Denver, and obviously David Carl's done an amazing job. But you know, George really was the guy that kind of built that program back and then laid the foundation for what they're doing now. So those years were huge for us. You know, at getting back into the tournament, and then the program starts to rise because now there's more recruits want to go there, and you're getting your players in bigger games, bigger opportunities. I remember the same thing at Ferris. You know, at RPI, we were knocking on the door, you know, and we were getting some great recruits. You know, the Brandon Peary's and Jerry D'Amigo's, Chase Palachek was a 2-time player of the year, Alan York played in the NHL. But finally we cracked through there in 2010-11, even after we lost Peary and D'Amigo to the NHL early that year. So that's a special team in my heart because I think that team was set up to maybe make a run at everything, which is very unique at a school like RPI. You don't have a lot of those opportunities to have a team like that. Peary and D'Amigo signed early. And that team had a chip on their shoulder that they wanted to go make the NCAA tournament regardless. And they did it. And that's a heck of an accomplishment. A couple years later, we had one of the best regular seasons in school history. There's a lot of things I'm really proud of when you look back. And same with that Ferris. We didn't make a tournament in my 4 years, but we did make a CCHA Final Four, beat Michigan State at Joe Louis Arena. Those are great memories,
Yeah.
and something you're proud of. And you always wanted as a coach to be able to put your players in opportunities to earn those types of things, to earn those big games. I mean, that's why at RPI, I'd always schedule a crazy hard schedule. I wanted our players to go play at Minnesota in front of a sold-out building, to go play at Michigan, to go play at North Dakota. And once in a while, we were able to get them back in our building too, which was huge for our fans. But, like I said, I have nothing but amazing memories of all three places that I played and coached in college hockey, and I still follow college hockey closely.
Lastly, I did want to get to last season. It was a magical turnaround last year for the Buffalo Sabres. Somewhere in the middle of December, put together one of the best runs we've seen in pro hockey. What was it like being in that situation in that locker room and night in, night out, knowing how well you guys are such a groove you were in?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a magical run, those last 50 games, and obviously 2 rounds of the playoffs, and a little bittersweet to lose in game seven, so of the second round. So that one stings a little bit still. But
Yeah.
yeah, like we felt we were coming. I've coached almost, probably 40% of this team in Rochester as well. So I know the DNA inside these guys. I know the character and the competitiveness of our group. In the first year, I think with Lindy and our staff, there's growing pains. We didn't have the year we wanted to have, but we thought we made a lot of strides in the last 25, 30 games that year. We started last year not the way we wanted to, but there was a lot of things that happened. We were missing our first two line centers at times in those first 25 games, where our number one goalie was out. We felt we were playing better than our record indicated, but we just couldn't get traction of consistency for some reason or another.
Yeah.
And then obviously we found it, and the guys took ownership and they started to run with it. And then it's confidence is an amazing thing. And all of a sudden you go on a streak and you start winning five, six, seven games. And now you get into those moments in games where it's crunch time of a third period, or they just scored to take a lead. And you all of a sudden have confidence that you know how to respond and you know how to have the answer in those hard moments of games. And then that just started steamrolling on top of itself. And so it was a great experience. I think a lot of lessons, both positively and negatively, that we can learn from to apply into this year to make sure that we're ready to start the season that way and not have to rely on the last 50 games like that.
And then lastly, I just want to ask you about the crowd in the city of Buffalo, because it's one of those New York cities where if you give them something, they'll get behind you 100%. It seemed from the outside looking at it, what was that kind of whole the vibe in the city like for the run into the playoffs?
It was electric. I mean, it was hard to describe, really. It was so good. And you've always heard that. I remember seeing it when I was younger, watching playoff runs here. And it's a mid-sized NHL market. And in our fans' defense, we've been bad for 14 years. And so, you see the way they follow the Bills. You knew they'd get it back once we did our part. And we started doing our part, and they returned in droves and made it one of the best atmospheres in the NHL. And that Montreal series was, the crowds were amazing because obviously Montreal's got one of the most electric atmospheres in the league, and ours was right there with it. And so it was pretty amazing. Our city was on tilt for most of the last 3, 4 months of the season in the playoffs. And now we need to do our part and make them want to have that same vibe in the building again this year.
Awesome. Well, Seth, thanks so much for catching up. It was good to see you again, obviously, as a former RPI alum and a fan of college hockey myself, obviously following you through your career here with the Sabres. It's great to see you having success, especially this playoff run. We'll hope to see another one this upcoming season.
I appreciate it, Barry. Thanks for having me on. Proud CCHA alum and proud Bulldog. Go Dogs.